Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, more Little Houndale's wrist warmers, projects for four-ply, more Capitan hats, cabling without a cable needle, and KnitPro cubics. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather. I'm The Ord Knitter on Twitter, The Ordinary Knitter on Instagram, and Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. It feels like I was here just a couple of days ago. I recorded last week's podcast on Tuesday, as has become my habit, but I was absolutely rushed off my feet last week, and it was Saturday night before I actually felt I could justify an hour spent getting it all up online. Whereas, you know, by the time you've checked all your links and done the WordPress and so on, you know, it's about an hour. I'm going to aim to do rather better than that this week. I'm sure nobody was holding their breath, but even so, I don't like leaving it that long. It starts to sort of prey on my mind. Anyway, on with the show. Little Houndale's wrist warmers. I made some of these in the spring of this year. I could go off and check, but once I go off checking on Ravelry, I sort of find I disappear into it a bit. But I made some, oh, here we go, March of last year, last spring. So that was just before I started this podcast. They're lovely. I'd been looking for a wrist warmers pattern for a little while. Anyone who's been listening for a while may recall I mentioned my mother asked me if I would make some wrist warmers for her. They included a cable which she wasn't particularly confident about tackling. And I ended up with a spare pair, which I wore myself to my surprise, because I do so many things, you know, in the kitchen and with the hens and this and that. I thought that wrist warmers would just be hopeless. I'd constantly be taking them off. But I found that wasn't the case at all. And when I'm working, I'm in front of a computer. So really, they're really beneficial then, because your hand, especially your mouse hand, can get really cold if your office isn't that warm, as mine isn't. But the style of them probably wasn't what I would have chosen for myself, so I went hunting around, and in the end I found these very plain stocking stitch Little Houndale's wrist warmers. They're purely stocking stitch, there's no ribbed cuff, so they roll back on your fingers, well, you know, on sort of the knuckles, your middle knuckle, and I really liked that effect. You knit them flat and then you seam them, and all you do for the thumb hole is you just don't seam, and because that's a selvedge edge, is that right? Or selvedge, you don't have any rough ends. It's a perfectly nice edging. So I liked those. They were great. And it suddenly came to me the other day that I could make a pair for a friend of mine. I've been wondering what to make her for Christmas, and these came to me, but they're a little bit plain. Well, obviously, that, you know, the original pattern, it's completely plain. And I thought I could put a design on them. So I already have some printed out charts for Scandinavian style snowflake designs, and I used those for the Scandi Mash mittens that I was talking about last week. I would love to credit the person who originally created them, but that hasn't come out on the printout, but I'll have a dig about and see if I can find out who it was who originally created these charts and credit them. So what I've done is I've just taken one element, because when I made these or used this design in the Scandi Mash mittens, at one point it didn't come out quite as I had hoped, and I want to avoid that on these Little Houndale's ones. So I've picked out just the actual snowflake bit that I want, and I posted a picture of that on Instagram the other day. I have to say, I don't know if this makes me a bit of a nerd, but I love charting. It can be a bit frustrating sometimes, and as I get older, the squares on my knitter's graph paper seem to get smaller, but I really do enjoy charting. Whether I'm modifying an existing chart or whether I'm coming up with something from scratch, I find it's very methodical, it's quite soothing, a little bit like ironing in that respect. So yes, I was quite enjoying that. So I've got these that I need to do. I said last week that I wasn't worrying particularly about Christmas knitting yet. I wasn't getting in a panic. Well, I think panic stations is just around the corner, because all of a sudden, and I bring it on myself, but all of a sudden it's like, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. My polystyrene balls still haven't arrived. However, I have a polystyrene head. More about my polystyrene head later. So I have numerous things I need to do, and I think I've just realised this happens every year. I'm one of those people who, I really enjoy Christmas, but I try not to start it too soon. Otherwise, I can have a mad burst of Christmassiness in the first week of December, and it's downhill from there, which I always think's a little bit of a shame. So also, rather tragically, I think Father Christmas is no more. I think my son, who's nearly eight, has... I don't know if he's hanging on to it just for me, but he's been having conversations with his dad that Father Christmas isn't real, and that just breaks my heart. It really does. So I'm going to have to find something to replace that as that lovely element of Christmas. But so I'm this week, I'm Christmas is there, and I know I need to do things to prepare for it. I made my Christmas cake on Sunday, but... the knitting, I don't think I can put that off any longer. I'm going to have to get on with that. However, as I said in the introduction, more Capitan hats. The thing I have to make first is another Capitan hat for my mother-in-law. I think I mentioned a few episodes ago, she's not too well, and a hat would be quite welcome. My husband's going down to see her in a few days' time. She doesn't live anywhere near us. And I thought I would send him down with another hat. The Capitan is I really like it. It's my go-to hat now. It's got cables at the front and a peak. It's a flattering style. And as she says in the pattern, well, she says, oh, it's a couple of hours. I would really take issue with that. I think it's quite a lot more than a couple of hours. But it is still a quick knit, a couple of evenings, and you're done. So I've got to have that done by Thursday night. I've already got another one in the pipeline as well, because I had said that I was going to make one for my mother for Christmas as well. And something that I have to factor in to having this Capitan hat ready in time is blocking it. And I have a bit of blocking coming up, actually. I'm normally the anti-blocker for the things that I knit. I apologise if you can hear my son whistling. He's off sick today and he's already burst in once and I've had to re-record. So if you can hear the whistling, then just try and block it out like I'm failing to do. Yes, I have a bit of blocking in the pipeline. One of the things I need to block is the Capitan hat I made for myself, because I wanted a hat that had deeper coverage on the head than the original pattern dimensions. I knitted in an extra set of cables, so that's probably about, that's an extra 10 rows, and that's great in terms of the length, it's absolutely great, but it does mean that sometimes when I'm wearing it, it starts to rise up slightly on the crown. I know that's a bit of a look at the moment, but I look an idiot when it does that, and I was wearing it at the rugby on Saturday and I had to keep yanking it down over my ears, and that's just going to drive me potty. So I don't tell everybody this, but my mother has a polystyrene head, and she has lent it to me, and I'm going to block my hat on that, and I might block my mother-in-law's as well. And I have to block a pair of socks. I made the garden clog socks, took those to the wool pack on Friday. I'll tell you about that later. But the lady who runs it, another Heather, she said she would like the socks blocked because it has that nice effect. So that's fine. I'm perfectly happy to do that. It's made me get my ironing board out at last. That's been what you might politely call dormant lately. And I also have the wrist warmers to block that I made recently. And as I've sewn them up, I've made a bit of a boo-boo. And I've made the thumb hole. They have the same construction as the little Houndales. And I've made a bit of a boo-boo, and the thumb hole is a little bit small. I think overall that these wrist warmers are quite small anyway. I mean, that I can get them on, but I think they're either for a child, that's probably a bit strong, you know, a young adult, or just somebody who's very fine-boned, has quite small hands, which is not, I wouldn't describe myself as either fine-boned or with small hands, but I'm hoping that as I block them, I might be able to slightly stretch that thumb hole. I mean, I know it's not ideal, but it's just one of those things I'll have to bear in mind for another time. The pattern states DK, but I wonder whether these in fact would be better made up in an aran. And as I've got, you know, plenty of charity knitting time through the wool pack, I might on a future occasion make a pair in aran. So I was back at the wool pack last week. Normally I go once a fortnight because on the other week I should have knit and natter, but at the moment work is taking precedence, so I'm not sure how much of anything I'm going to get along to in the next, well, between now and the new year really. But I was there on Friday, and rather hilariously it turns out that I'm one of their skilled knitters, which I don't know if that's not particularly great news for them really. But in conversation with the lady who runs it, it transpired that they don't have anybody who makes socks. Now, I'm a very happy sock knitter, so she's given me a bag of 4-ply. And if there's enough of any one, or that I two that I could combine in a sensible fashion, I'm very happy to make some socks from that for them. As is often the way with these sorts of things, I haven't got nice full labelled skeins of anything with a yardage and a weight. So what I'm going to have to do is weigh the skeins that I've got, so I have an idea of how much I have. And because it's fun, I was looking on Ravelry yesterday at 4-ply projects. I don't know if you're a Ravelry user or if you use many of its features, but one of the features I really do like is that you can search the entire pattern library with all sorts of different parameters. You can actually create a very detailed search, but one of the things I use quite frequently is the yarn weight search. So I was just searching under 4-ply, and they seem to be very much socks, hats and shawls. Hats strike me as the easiest thing because they're really going to take probably the least yarn, and you're just going to be really quick to put together. Socks are a little bit more involved. The thing with shawls, I'm not a shawl knitter, not for any great reason. I don't know if this is just wrist warmers all over again, but I don't wear a shawl. I wear a lot of scarves. I wear a lot of, you know, those really big scarves that you just bunch around your neck. In this time of year, I find they make a really huge difference to my general perception of how warm or cold I am. Although I end up having to tuck them down my front so they don't dangle in things, you know, while I'm cooking and emptying the dishwasher. So, and also, my perception is that a shawl would take quite a lot of yarn, and judging by what I've been given, I don't think I would have enough of any one thing. And when you're given a load of odds and ends, you can't necessarily, you know, you're lucky if things go together in an appealing way. So I've identified a few projects that I would quite like to do, and I'll just have to get weighing and hope that my kitchen scales are up to the job of weighing relatively small amounts. They're pretty good, but I'll have to see if they're up to this. Talking about the Capitan hat, I was mentioning last week about cabling without needles, and I was saying how well that was going on the Ivy top. And I started the one of the front parts of Ivy this week before I suddenly thought, oh my god, I've got to do lots of knitting for Christmas. And the way that it's constructed, you start with the twisted rib cuff. Now this isn't quite as many as before because it's only part of the front. It's not like the last time when it was the whole of the back. So I started that, and it's really quite easy doing the cable part, well, cable in inverted commas, on the twisted rib, because the stitch that you're pulling across the others has been slipped for the previous two, well, at least two rounds. And so it's this great big obvious giant droopy loop, and it's really easy to, you can leave it loose and it's really not about to go anywhere, which makes it really easy for rearranging the stitches on your needle, because the principle of cabling without a cable needle is that you rearrange the stitches on the left-hand needle into the order that you need them, and then you knit them, so you're not farting around with a cable needle. And because Ivy is already such a bitty pattern, at no stage in the twisted rib cuff do you do more than three stitches the same. There's depending on which part you're at, there's a knit three or a purl three, and that's the most you ever do of the same thing. So you're constantly chopping and changing, and factoring a cable needle into that as well. Especially with fine stitches, you need a fine cable needle, and I found it was sliding around all over the place and generally beginning to toy with me. So doing this without a needle is just brilliant. It's just making all the difference, and it's really obvious what you're meant to do because of this giant loop, and I know what the end effect is meant to be. So I was about to say I can't get it wrong, that's clearly going too far, but you'd have to try to get it wrong. The Capitan hat has four cables that run up the front, and you do three repeats. And suffice to say, it's not quite the same experience cabling without a cable needle on the hat. I think part of the problem is that the yarn I'm using, I got a load of chunky out of my stash and basically dumped it in my husband's lap and said, which colour do you think your mother would like? And he really helpfully said, oh, I think she'd like all of them, really. Well, I'm afraid that's not going to happen. I can manage to get one done just. I can probably also justify a little bit of knitting time during the day because it's for my mother-in-law, you know. It's got to be done on time and all the rest of it. But that didn't really help me. But we, in the end, we settled on this dark lilac colour on the basis of that pattern. When I am old, I shall wear purple. And it's an acrylic yarn. I know I've been quite a vocal proponent of acrylic yarns before, but it does depend what you're making. And when I wear my Capitan hat, which is in a yarn, it's not 100% acrylic, but it's largely acrylic, and makes my hair go a bit electric, as I discovered to my horror on bonfire night when we nipped into Morrison's afterwards and I went to the loos and I looked like Crystal Tips had stuck her finger in the socket. It was embarrassing, quite honestly, and I'm used to brazening it out with lots of hair, but that was just embarrassing. So the acrylic has, in this particular yarn, I think it's a particularly cheap yarn, and it's got no give in it at all. It's not forgiving at all either. So I was starting to do what I had done for the twisted rib on Ivy, and part of manoeuvring your stitches for cabling without a cable needle, you do briefly have several live stitches just sitting there, sticking out of your project without a needle in them, which, you know, can be risky, but my experience with Ivy had been so good that I thought, oh no, it'll be fine because... Well, by the time I had succeeded in dropping a couple of stitches and then splitting the yarn a couple of times as I was wrestling it around, I began to revise my ideas. And in the end, what I've just done, just for the hell of this, because actually it's only, is it three or four? It's only three or four cable rounds that you do on the whole thing. And it's only a small section of the overall hat. It's only about a third of the distance round of the overall hat. So I've just thought, right, sod it. And I'm not actually using a cable needle. And I wonder if this is where maybe I was going wrong before, because I thought a cable needle would help. But as you know, I'm not so sure. So I'm just using an old DPN now, and it grips onto the yarn nicely and it just stays put. So I'm just going to do that for now. But it's made me realise that I was being a bit Pollyanna-ish about cabling without a cable needle before. You know, my one experience, obviously I was the expert and it was all absolutely marvellous. But I think it really depends on your yarn and your project. Some definitely lend themselves to it better than others. I've mentioned before, again quite recently, about snapping needles. I've seemed to be quite good at snapping my needles. I'm clearly an awful lot more tense than I realise. And I've been talking to my husband about getting some metal needles for Christmas, and I was expecting to have to get fixed because it seems that there are very few interchangeables that go down to the, so I'm talking about the really thin end of the scale, I'm talking about between 2 and 3.5 millimeters, and as a sock knitter I do use needles that small not infrequently, and I've got a couple of higher fixed circulars, but I'm not always sure if the join is as smooth as it might be. But my husband was actually looking on my behalf because I was a bit otherwise engaged, and he sent me a link for KnitPro Cubics. Now, I know that the KnitPro Cubics have been available in the wooden finish for a while, but and I might be behind the times and they might have been around in metal for ages, but it's new to me. They, as it says here, for the first time ever, the cuboid-shaped needles are now offered in shiny nickel-plated brass. So I'm really interested to try these. I like the idea of the angular shape of them. So I'm really tempted to try them. I think I'm going to ask him if I can get some of these. That also the joy of them is that they go down to size 2. However, whether they go down to size 2 in interchangeable, so that might be a little bit of a challenge for the joiny bit, the shank and all the rest of it. So I need to research that. But even if I end up having to have fixed, that's fine. I don't mind because of Knitting Magic Loop. If I get a fixed circular on, well, I was going to say the biggest cable. You can sometimes have too much cable. It can get in the way, but certainly on a long cable, you know, it doesn't have to be the longest, but on a long cable, that should be enough for most of the types of knitting that I do. So I'm quite keen on those, and I've heard good things about them as well. If you have any experience with Knit Pro Cubics, whether it's the metal or the wood, I'd be really interested to hear. Obviously, the great advantage for me of the metal is that I can't snap it. And if I start snapping those, I've really got problems. So that's my theory. And what I just need to do at the moment is go and see what size the fixed circulars are that I've got, with the aim of not duplicating those. I mean, obviously, it's lovely having lots of needles the same for different projects, but I try to be a monogamist when it comes to knitting. I try not to have too many projects on the go at once. Normally I have a big project that isn't that portable, and I have a small project that I can pick up quickly. I have an apology to make. If you listen to this podcast through SoundCloud, I put up episode 29 last week, masquerading as episode 30. So sorry, the information I put up was for episode 30, but the file was episode 29. I have since corrected it, but I apologise for any confusion that may have caused. Usually with SoundCloud, I try to have the most recent episode uploaded within a day or two of putting it up on my site. But the problem I have is that I don't have a pro account on SoundCloud. I don't monetize this podcast in any way, and I've got no worries about paying for the hosting. I'm not about to start asking for contributions, but at the same time, I'm not going to be paying for external services. So I have to use the free allowance on SoundCloud, and I keep going in this loop where I go to upload the latest podcast, it tells me I'm over, I delete the oldest podcast, but for some reason it takes SoundCloud hours and hours to activate a deletion. So then I can't do it there and then, and sometimes it can be a couple of days before I get back to it. So I feel like I'm constantly playing catch up on SoundCloud. On my site, there is the web address that you can enter into podcast software in order to get this podcast downloaded automatically, should you so wish, along with any other podcasts that you automatically download. Early on, I was looking at getting up onto iTunes, but I'm not a Mac user. I'm not actually a Windows user either. It's all Ubuntu, Linux, and so on in our house. So getting it up onto iTunes, not being a Windows or a Mac user, was just too much for me, and I gave up, quite honestly. I'm also on Gpodder, and I know it's all working okay. There's nothing that appears to be an error, but when I go to Gpodder through my phone and search for this podcast, it doesn't come up, and I can't explain that, because when I go to the site to upload it, everything appears to be as it should be. So I can't explain that, and at some point I will try and dig into it a bit further and see if I can identify a problem to solve. But for now, I need to go back and talk to a small boy who is suffering with nasty cold and cough and earache and so on. I think I probably pushed my luck already, sneaking off to do this. So as always, lovely to talk to you, and hope to be back next week. Bye.